We'll just manage as we go. But again, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock. Do we want to wait another minute? I think we're missing Mayor Mendez and Mr. Benavides.
Jude?
Jude is here.
Okay.
Is he? We're missing Mayor Mendez.
So do we want to give it another minute?
We have a quorum if you'd like to start.
Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday, April 13, 2020, and the time is 5:01 p.m. Will the recording secretary please call the roll?
Okay, Ana O'Quinn?
Here.
Jude Benavides?
Here.
Sandra Langley?
Here.
Sandra Sayans?
Here.
Tim Lopes?
Here.
Armando Magallanes?
Here.
Mayor Mendez?
Here.
Okay. I just wanted to remind participants to please mute your phone except when speaking. Go ahead, Ana.
So also on that note, when you speak, please state your name at the TAR to recognize the voices, and we want to make sure that we record them properly. So with the confirmation of quorum, I will now open the meeting and call it to order. Will the secretary please advise if any public comments were filed?
None.
Okay, since no public comments were filed, just please again remember to mute your phones and unmute them when you speak and state your name. So, at this time, do I have a motion to accept consent agenda items 1 through 12?
It's Tim Lopes, I'll make that motion.
Do I have to repeat their names since they've already stated, or do I just allow them to state their name?
You can just allow them to state their names.
Okay. So I have a first and I have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, you have to state your name.
Any opposed?
No, we should roll call the vote, right? We should roll call the vote. Is that easier or no?
Yes.
I think it'd be easier.
Okay.
So state your name.
All in favor?
Aye.
This is Trey.
May I make a suggestion to just have the secretary call our names and we vote yes, aye, or no, nay?
Thank you.
Call each one.
Okay. So for consent items, motion was made by Tim Loeb, second by Mayor Mendez. And I'm going to call the rest to vote. Jude Benavides?
This is Jude. I vote aye.
Sandra Langley?
Aye.
Sandra Sayans?
Aye.
Armando Magallanes?
Nay.
And Ana O'Quinn?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
Okay, thank you. So items for individual consideration, we have no action on item number one. Item number two, General Manager's Report.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we have a couple items. We won't discuss the board calendar. There's nothing to report on that. The COVID-19 update, I just wanted to brief the board. I have been sending out a daily report to the board, the activity tracker for the organization. We also, as a group here, we have a management meeting every morning, the pandemic response team meeting, and that's composed of executive management, managers, and directors. And we go over many items on the list every day, the activity reporter. We talk about a situation report, an IT report, communication report, a pandemic cleaning and disinfection report, pandemic supplies, exposure risk management, essential business activities, human resource report, and any other items that we may need to talk about. And is there any questions of the board? Is that report, the activity report, tracker report, helpful? We try to give you an overview of the entire organization by day and highlight any issues or problems that we're encountering. Right now, we have not had anything really out of the ordinary, trying to get some supplies in that are hard to get for safety purposes, but we're getting those in now. But any comments of the board or anything you'd like to see in addition on this COVID-19 activity report? I do send out a lot of directives and things that we've been doing or anything I get, so you probably get a lot of information and just needs a little bit of feedback from the board if what we're doing is okay or you want to see something different. Any comments of the board?
This is Tim. I find them helpful. I think you're going about it the right way. It is a lot of information, but that's just something we got to work through.
Okay.
This is Sandra, and I do agree with Mr. Lopes as well. And thank you for what you all are doing out there.
Okay. Any comments, anyone else on the board? Okay, nothing on the board calendar. Financial report.
Mike, go ahead.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Mike Pettis. I am the Director of Finance, and I'll be presenting the financial performance report for PUB as of February 29, 2020. I'll direct you to page 2 of the financial report, starting off with line 3, net operating revenues for $76 million. $151,997. After we add in other revenues, interest from investments, and other non-operating income, we end up at line 7, gross revenues of $82,481,082. Now, as per bond ordinance, we do subtract out the fuel and energy cost, $19.467 million. We also subtract off the off-system energy expenses, $3,096,000. And our SRWA contribution of $2,458,000 to arrive at the line 12 adjusted gross revenues of $57,458,747. This is the basis for the 10% City of Brownsville calculation. So the city is entitled to $5,745,875 net of their usage. Moving on to page 3, line 15, total expenses were $26,527,078. We add in debt service obligations of $10,703,049, and we arrive at total requirements year to date of $37,230,127. Subtracting this from the adjusted gross revenues and also backing out the year to date COB usage of $1.9 million, we end up at a balance available to surplus of $18,304,663. Now, this $18 million was used to transfer to the City of Brownsville net of their COB usage, $3,821,918, leaving a balance for PUB uses of $14,482,745. Now, this $14,482,000 was then used to fund $7,500,000 into the fuel adjustment subaccount. We also funded $4,291,878 into CIP. Total funding requirements were $11,791,878, and this left PUB with a surplus balance here to date of $2,690,867. At the bottom, you'll see a recap by utility. We can see that each utility positively contributed to the balance available of $14.48 million. Moving on to page 5, we have a graph comparison of current year actual compared to current budget and prior year's actual. Starting off with adjusted gross revenues, $57.5 million current year, were $4.6 million above budget and $1.7 million below last year's levels. For the fuel and energy costs of $19.5 million, those were $6.7 million under budget and $3.1 million below last year's level. The O&M expenses of $26.1 million were also $8.7 million under budget and $1.6 million under last year's level. Moving on to page 6, we've got the electric sales comparison. We're comparing current actual to prior year actual to the current year budget and the five-year average. We see that for the first 3 months, October to December, the electric sales were above all metrics, and then in January and February, they were actually below all metrics. For February 2020, actual sales were 83 million kWh compared to 85 million kWh prior year same month last year. Although year-to-date, electric sales are above last year's levels by 11,950,000 kWh, or about 2.5% increase. Moving on to page 7, we have the water sales. We see that the sales for the 5 months ending in February were all above the other metrics. Year-to-date, we see water sales were above by 185,248,000 gallons above last year, or about 7.6%. Page 8, wastewater flows. We see the same trend as water, pretty much. So the wastewater flows for the 5 months ending February were also above all the other metrics. Wastewater flows for were 99,085,000 gallons above last year's level, or about 5.8% increase. On page 9, we have the residential electric bill comparison. When compared to other investor-owned utilities, we see that the IOU average was $115.18. PUB's average bill of $102 was significantly below the average. PUB happens to be fourth among this group of 11 entities for the month of February. It's good to point, though, that for the 12-month average, PUB's bill is actually the second lowest among the group. Moving on to page 10, we have the bill comparison to other municipally owned utilities. We can see that the MOU average was $102.66. PUB's average bill of $102 is slightly below the average, and PUB happens to be fifth among this group of 9 entities. That concludes my presentation. I'll be glad to answer any questions from the board.
Okay, no questions of the board. Okay, item D is General Manager's Procurement Summary.
Diane? Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Diane Solitaire. I'm presenting the report, the procurement report for the first quarter of the year, January through March 2020. All of the procurement items were either bid out or they were on a state contract. And we have the water, wastewater administration total, $437,531.33. And the electric total, $730,301.52. For a grand total between both of $1,167,832.85. Do you have any questions?
No. No questions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Madam Chair, that concludes the General Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Buziak. Item number 3, consideration and approval of minutes for January 13, 2020, regular meeting, and February 10, 2020, regular meeting. Do I have a motion?
This is Jude. Motion to approve.
Sandra Langley, second. Sandra Langley, second.
Okay, now I'm going to call your name for the other one so you can vote. Sandra Science?
Aye.
I'm going to call your name so you can vote. The other ones, we have a motion by Jude, a second by Langley. So Sandra Science?
I'm sorry, aye.
Tim Lopes?
Aye.
Armando Magallanes?
Aye.
Mayor Mendez?
Aye.
Anna O'Quinn?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Consideration and item number four. Consideration and possible action to amend the Brownsville Public Utilities Board personnel policies and procedure policy number 8 on sick leave. Ms. Guerra.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and board members. Emilia Guerra, Director of Human Resources. So to further support our employees during this emergency situations like the one we're going through right now with this pandemic, we are proposing to amend personnel policy number 8 on sick leave to include a new section called Emergency Sick Leave Advance. And if you look at the attached policy document, the new section is found at the very end on page 4 of the attached document. The Emergency Sick Leave Advance would provide authorization to the general manager to approve up to 240 hours or 30 days of sick leave for any employees who have exhausted all of their sick and annual or vacation leave. And this would only apply during an emergency or in anticipation of an emergency situation. Employees who take advantage of this benefit would pay back the advanced leave with their future sick and vacation leave accruals. And as an example, if an employee borrows 40 hours of sick leave, it would take the employee at least 2 months to pay back the leave, because employees earn 20 hours of sick leave and an annual leave per month. And we have some employees who earn 12 hours of annual leave if they've been here 15 years or more. If the employee terminates employment before the advance leave is offset, we would deduct the amount owed from the employee's last paycheck. And we will work with our attorney, if this amendment is approved, to have an acknowledgement form for employees so that it authorizes us to deduct that amount from their last paycheck. So based on the current accounting of employees' sick leave totals, we have currently 101 employees who have 0 to less than 1 week of sick leave available, and these employees would potentially benefit from this amendment. Of these 101 employees, 7 employees have no sick leave, and 94 have less than 1 week of sick leave available. And 74 of those 101 also are currently unable to work from home because they're more field employees or plant operators. The PUB staff requests approval to amend policy number 8, sick leave. Do you have any questions for me?
I do. This is Sandra Sainz. Are you saying that all those 100 employees are eligible, or is it everybody that is eligible for this? Or are we just talking?
The only employees that would be eligible would be those that have exhausted all of their sick and annual leave.
Oh. Okay.
So currently we have 7 employees in that situation. They don't have any sick or annual leave available to them.
And these are employees that would have to stay home during this time?
Right. If they are unable to telework and they have to be home because we don't have any work for them here because we're doing social distancing and we have to send employees home to telework and they're unable to do so, then that would they could apply for this leave advancement if they chose to. And if they didn't have leave in their accrued leave.
Okay.
Please be amended. I'll make a motion to approve.
Armando Mariano, second that motion.
Sorry, go ahead, Armando.
Second the motion.
Okay, let me call the other's name so they can vote. Okay, Jude Benavides.
This is Jude. Aye.
Sandra Langley.
Aye.
Sandra Sáenz.
Aye.
Tim Lopes.
Aye.
And Anna Quinn.
Aye.
Go ahead, Anna.
Okay. Motion passes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Item number five. Consideration and possible action to allocate improvement fund monies to an expanded share fund for COVID-19 customer relief. Mr. Garcia.
Yes, this is Leandro Garcia. I'm going to read from the summary. On March 13, 2020, in response to the growing threat of the COVID-19 coronavirus disease, Governor Greg Abbott issued a declaration of state of disaster for all counties in Texas. The Public Utility Commission of Texas PUCT issued an order on March 26, 2020, which imposes certain requirements and prohibitions on utilities subject to regulation by the PUCT. The order that does apply to utilities governed by the PUCT provides for the suspension of the collection of late penalty payment fees and the disconnection of service for non-payment for residential customers who cannot pay their electric bill due to unemployment or low income from the effects of the COVID-19 disaster. This PUCT order also requires a third-party low-income list administrator to determine which residential customers are eligible for the COVID-19 electricity relief program. So although PUB, as a municipality, is not required to follow this order, PUB at this time would like to expand its share program with funding from surplus improvement funds and plans to coordinate with local agencies to establish clear guidelines for a COVID-19 related expanded share program to assist customers who cannot pay their bill, their PUB bill, due to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. So funding requirements for systems with electric, water, and wastewater services are estimated at approximately $2 million for a one-month period. We did obtain some legal guidance from DTRG, Davidson, Troglio, Riemann, Garza, whereby they have affirmed that this action, the use of public funds for bill payment assistance, is allowed per the Texas Constitution as a result of the public calamity we're now facing. In addition, we obtained a legal opinion from ARIC, our bond counsel, and they've also affirmed that the use of these monies for the purpose through share program is permissible per our bond ordinance. We also attached a summary of some projected numbers to the agenda item where we provide what we projected in revenues from all customers for electric, water, and wastewater for the months of March through June. And those were provided in the top caption. Now, what we decided to target in terms of the funding level for this program was assuming a 30% residential unemployment rate. So we pulled out the residential revenues that are incorporated in the top you know, all combined revenues, and then applied a 30% rate of non-collection, non-collectible. So the numbers provided there in the midsection for the months March through June, for March, were the number would have been 1.9 million, 1.98 million. April 2.07 million, May 2.43 million, and June 3.06 million. So at this time, we are requesting a funding level of $2 million from surplus funds for the share expanded share program. BPUB staff recommends approval to allocate surplus improvement funds in the amount of $2 million to an expanded share fund for the COVID-19 customer relief for a period of 1 month for customers who cannot pay their bill, their PUB bill, due to the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'll be glad to answer any questions at this time. We do have a related item, item number six, that we'll talk about the actual shared guidelines once this item is approved.
This is Sandra Sines. Are we just allocating that amount? What happens if it's either over or above? Above or under? If after that month.
Once we began the program with our the agency that Eddie Hernandez will talk about, we will monitor the usage levels, and because this $2 million reflects 1 month, if we fall short, then we will advise the agency to suspend any additional assistance until such time that we come back to the board, either for additional funding or for funding for the second month. So we'll adjust the second month funding based on our experience for the next for the first month use. So we'll be working closely with the agency and ensure that it's not exceeded the amount. And if there's a balance, we'll take it into consideration in seeking the second month funding from the board.
Okay. This is Ms. O'Quinn. So not to get ahead of myself, because I think you said you on number six, you're going to explain the plan, but what are we seeing currently? And I know that, you know, this happened in March, but I know that invoices for utilities have come out already. What are we seeing from our community as far as needs? And then number two is, I'm assuming that this is per guidelines and that they need to meet, because it's something similar to what we currently already have to assist people that are not able to pay their utility bill.
So I'll address it in two or three parts. So when it comes to us monitoring the financial activity, we are tracking on a daily basis. We began this back on March 30th, 31st. Our trends for our accounts receivable balances, in other words, how much customers owe us. And we're also tracking the cash side. That's been rather steady at this point, but the data, of course, will reflect something in the future as people stop paying bills, their utility bills. When it comes to what the need in the community is, the need is out there, and that's why the PUCT issued the order to the investor-owned utilities. There is some grant monies, some monies that will come down to the agency that we're working with that will also provide assistance to the customer. So our $2 million would just be supplementing what these other agencies are eligible for from the state and the federal government. And Eddie can elaborate on that on item number six. So we do expect for customers to continue requesting assistance either through payment plans or actual bill payment assistance through the agencies.
Leandro, this is Armando Magallanes. I have two questions. One, who is the, you mentioned something about being a local system and third party. Who are they, or are they chosen That'd be one question. The other thing, is there going to be any fees that need to be paid?
Yes, and Eddie will discuss also number six, but the agencies are, bear with me.
And to go on that same issue, the agencies, who the agencies that are chosen, the random chosen, or do you guys chose them, or how are they chosen? And I'd like to know who they are.
The benefit that we have from a SHARE program is that it's been existing for over a decade, for a long time. So we normally fund our SHARE program through our golf tournament. So we have an established relationship with two agencies. One is the Community Action Corporation of South Texas, and the other one is the Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley. Now, there is an admin fee from the Community Action Corporation of South Texas. So these agencies are local, and they have been serving the needs of our customers through our SHARE program, as well as through the monies they get from the state and the federal government. So it's we do have agreements in place that we have briefed the board on the guidelines and the agreements in prior years. So we have an established system, and that's a good thing. We don't have to wait for the state to establish something like the investor-owned utilities. And we will also control the money. All the agencies will do is send us electronic vouchers, and then we apply the funds to customer accounts. So Eddie can go into more details on that. But to answer your question, we're benefiting from the SHARE program that's already in place.
Is there a fee? And if there's a fee, how much are you talking about?
Eddie, you want to chime in on the KCOS fee?
Sure. This is Eddie Hernandez. The fee that KCOS charges is 9% of the awarded amount.
So what you're trying to say, Mr. Hernandez, that any of the amount that is for fee, the 9% automatically goes to them? Is that what you're saying?
We pay them 9%. So they don't reduce the fee by they don't reduce the award by 9%. We pay them 9% separately.
If
a customer gets $100, if the customer qualifies for $100, the customer receives $100 in aid, and then the agency is paid $9.
We've recognized an admin fee to cover the intake and the qualifying efforts that they have to do to qualify the customers. So we found it very beneficial to rely on somebody who's tied into HHS that can do the intake and the whatever paperwork is required, either from the assistance they already registered for, or so it's not something that we expect for it to be done for free.
Thanks.
Okay. So here again.
This is Mayor Mendez. On that point, I wanted to ask, how many inquiries do you typically have on this? Is this something that could be moved in-house on these inquiries? Or is there certain types of requirements that mandate that there has to be a third party to manage it?
Intake for these services, fall in line with, social services that folks qualify for. It takes a big system of intake representatives specializing and tied into HHS, to the Health and Human Services state offices, local. So it's not something we could readily establish in-house, no.
And K-Cost also, they do the intake and the qualification for the state programs. So SHARE kind of ties, and you'll see that on the next item. SHARE is, we're amending SHARE so that the guidelines are similar. That way the intake, they can do intake for both programs, their programs, the state programs, and then our program in, all in one shot.
Right, I did see that, Eddie. Thank you. I was just curious as to how many inquiries we were getting and whether there was a requirement that we farm it out to a third party if we couldn't do it in-house. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, and one of the factors that we take into consideration is we have the share program when we have the tournaments, the golf tournaments, and we have money in there. So if there's no tournaments, there's no program, and K-Cost continues whether they're doing something for us or not. So it's not a continuous service year to year because it relies on tournament money. But it's good that we have it in place today, with it, and it's allowed for us to use these surplus monies because of the calamity. And
as of right now, how much money do we have in the share program without these $2 million? How much is in there right now?
We're down to like 4,000. I mean, we've been we've been very low. We had like 5 years ago, we had like over 200,000, but the absence of tournament participation or scheduling has dwindled that to almost nothing.
Okay, is there a plan to start raising funds on that again?
Have scheduled a tournament for this month, April. We've postponed it to November.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
But to be clear, item five is just to give the fund it the $2 million, right?
Yes, sir.
Just to Tim Lowe. Okay, thanks.
For 1 month, with the intent, you know, if we need to continue to come back for a second and then a third month.
Right. Okay, well, I'll make that motion. Tim Lopes.
Okay. This is Mayor Mendez, I'll second.
Okay, I'll call the other names. Drew Benavides.
Aye.
Sandra Langley.
Aye.
Sandra Science. Sandra Science.
Sorry, I forget to hit the mute. Aye.
Okay. Armando Magallanes.
Aye.
Anna O'Quinn.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Motion passes. Item number six, consideration and approval to amend the criteria for the share program. Mr. Hernandez.
Madam Chairman, members of the board, this is Eddie Hernandez. The share, as previously discussed, the share program is a program that PUB has to aid customers who are elderly, have extreme medical expenses, or are disabled, have funeral expenses, or have experienced recent unemployment. Share is usually limited to a one-time award of about $200 per month, which may be applied over multiple months. Which means that if you get one award of $200 and your bill's only $100, you can use that $200 to cover 2 months. PUB uses a third party to administer and handle the intake of qualifying PUB customers. Once the customer is qualified, the administrator sends PUB a listing of the customers and the amount of aid that they will receive. PUB then credits the customer in their account. The administrator may receive a processing fee for their services, but does not handle any funds directly with the customer. Staff is requesting an amendment to the share program criteria to include an emergency rider. The emergency rider would give PUB the flexibility to issue amended instructions regarding the share program for a limited time. Specifically, due to the COVID-19 emergency, the general manager would issue instructions to the administrator to amend the qualification criteria to allow for multiple awards to be made and to allow for alternative means of conducting the required interview. The agencies, we've asked for two things. One, the emergency rider, and two, if you'll notice in the backup, there is we're amending our criteria to match the state criteria for the Comprehensive Energy Assistance Program. KCOST already receives funding from the state for the CEAP program. Share will be augmenting the CEAP program. The CEAP program can only aid on the electric side. Share can aid on the electric and water and sewer side. So we'll be able to combine to leverage those two funds to help the customer out. The goal of this amendment is to provide the utility aid to PUB customers who are either underemployed or unemployed due to the COVID-19 outbreak and to encourage social distancing. Staff recommends approval of the amended criteria for the SHARE program. Any questions?
Eddie, this is Trey. I wanted to ask something really quick. I couldn't find the definition for unemployed anywhere. Is that the 150%? Is that what's considered unemployed? Yes?
Yes. That's where we amended, and it was highlighted in red. It's under the definition.
I just didn't know if that's what qualified as underemployed. And then second, if we approve this, how quickly would the funds be available for individuals?
We can have the letter. They will send us a letter We will send them a letter to sign agreeing to the terms. They've already been given heads up, so we can get that letter signed probably tomorrow. And then from that point, really, I'd say within the week, 1 week to within the week.
Okay.
We'll also consider a press release of some sort after the board approves this so we can get customers in.
Okay, does anyone have any questions?
I just had a question. When they go and they apply for this, besides, what proof did they have to show that they were working and they were laid off, or is it going to be real complicated for them? Or
for no, ma'am. They will be following the same standards that they do for that KCOST already has for the state programs that are in existence. That's why we amended our standards to kind of dovetail. They can show pay stubs, letters of unemployment, that type of thing.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Hey, do I have a motion?
This is Jude. I motion to approve.
This is Tim Lopes. I'll second that motion.
Sandra Langley?
Aye.
Sandra Science?
Aye.
Armando Magallanes?
Aye.
Mayor Mendez?
Aye.
And Anna O'Quinn?
Aye.
Go ahead, Anna.
Thank you.
Okay, motion passes. Item number 7, consideration and possible action on the adoption of a resolution relating to the suspension of late payment penalties and disconnection of service for non-payment, containing other provisions relating to orders of the Public Utility Commission of Texas and setting an effect date and term. Mr. Hernandez?
Madam Chairman, members of the board, on March 13th, 2020, in response to the growing threat of the COVID disease, Governor Greg Abbott issued a declaration of state of disaster for all counties in Texas. The Public Utility Commission adopted an order in docket 50664 that prohibits investor-owned utilities from disconnecting services for residential customers, not charging fees for late payments, and requiring IOUs to offer residential customers deferred payment plans. The PUC chairman encourage all utilities to do the same. BPUB was already offering deferred payment plans for residential customers, and as of April 1, suspended disconnections for non-payment and late payment penalties. The attached resolution ratifies the prior suspension of late payment penalties and charging fees for the late payment and authorizes the continuation of suspension so long as the PUC order remains in effect. The PUC order is effective until June 30th, but could be extended. The resolution authorizes the general manager CEO to take other actions that may be required by the PUC orders issued in docket 50664. The resolution also authorizes the general manager CEO to request ratification by the City Commission since the city code of ordinances required late payment charges and prohibited utility services to customers who owed money to the city. Staff recommends approval of the resolution.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, this is Armando Marianis. Well, Mr. Hernandez, my question would be, what would kind of happen if in the future the thing gets resolved, so the people that are still having pending bills, because regardless of if you waive the late fees and the disconnection, what's going to be the next step? What are you guys going to do next?
Well, there are two things that we're doing. One, this will waive the disconnection fees. It will waive any late payment fees. We're not doing disconnects, period. So there are no disconnection fees, but this waives the late payment fees. It also authorizes us to do payment arrangements. To continue doing payment arrangements for customers and to do payment on the residential side, and then to begin doing payment plans for commercial customers. This works hand-in-hand with the share, so if a customer does have a severe hardship, then they can apply for either the CAP funding from KCOS or the share funding from KCOS that PUB is providing.
Well, I think those funding levels should be something that the constituent need to know about, because putting it just like that, getting things simple, making it sound like we're just gonna kick the bucket down the road. I mean, we're just gonna give them a break because of whatever situation we're in. But my main concern is what's gonna happen. So if there's one bill or two bills and they're regarded as being late, you waive the late. So where are we gonna put like something in plan so we can be able to know that. Really, in reality, we are helping the constituents to try to overcome this, especially the ones in the low income, stuff like that. Keep in mind, especially the people that are unemployed because of this.
We'll be able to help the unemployed via the SHARE program, and I know that marketing is already working on publicizing that. We were just waiting for ratification today.
I think the urgency on this. This is my opinion. This is I don't know about the rest of the board members. There needs to be something that needs to be let known to the public, and let them know that they are going to be, regardless if they're just going to be waiving on the late fees and penalties and everything that's involved, that there are programs out there that they qualify. They can still get more assistance to be able to handle this massive thing that's going on. I just want to make sure that the constituents out there know that there's not the end of the road right there, that there's still something there that can apply. So it needs to be put out there so they know. I mean, that's my concern.
Absolutely. Now, Mr. Brusiak already has us working on those plans.
Mr. Magallanes, this is Leandro. Once we get back to normal, I would offer to present to the board some type of numbers analysis on where some customers are in terms of once we start collecting late fees, so that we can get further guidance from the board, whether we can begin assessing late fees or do some type of waiving, if the board considers additional assistance to the customers at that point in time. So once we get to 3 months down the road or 4 months, we can bring back an analysis of where customers are in terms of accumulating balances and get further guidance from the board.
That's good and dandy, Mr. Garcia. I understand that. But what my main concern is that something to be put out there, and then these people know, then the constituents know that there is other avenues that we're going to be able to try to help out what we can and how we can. That's very important, so they'll know that we're not just kicking the bucket down the road.
Okay.
That's my main concern.
We'll cover it from both
Mr.
sides.
Mr. Garcia, Mr. Hernandez, this is Ms. Oquin. Is this part of the services that the third-party shared company or is this part of their service to market or reach out? Because that's what I'm assuming that their percent charges for them to do that legwork.
Yes, they do. They do some marketing. They have also already asked us if we would partner with them, assuming that that the item was approved. If we would partner with them and also help them market on our website and through possibly flyers and other things. So we'll be working with our marketing department also to put something together.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any more questions?
Yeah, one more. This is Trey. When were you planning to make the formal announcement on these funds in this program? Is this tomorrow or?
Yes, tomorrow.
Today? I mean, what do you
have? The press release will go out tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
Just
say, I'll
make the motion.
This is Jude, I second.
Okay, let me call the other names. Sandra Langley.
Aye.
Sandra Sáenz.
Aye.
Armando Magallanes.
Aye.
Mayor Mendez.
Aye.
Ana Quinn.
Hi.
Go ahead, Anna.
Okay. So, being that there's no further business, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Mayor Metz, I so move.
Jude, second.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Stay safe.
Bye,
thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.